The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. On Friday, we talked about Brandon Straka, the founder of the Walkaway movement, hashtag Walkaway, Walkaway from the Democrat Party, banned by American Airlines for refusing to wear a mask on the flight, wear one of those surgical masks on the flight. He documented that, provided some video documentation of what happened. And, of course, this is the protocol that's been adopted by all the major carriers in the era of COVID-19. Well, oh, the ironies always abound in government, don't they? NPR reporting that the TSA withheld N95 masks from staff and exhibited, quote, gross mismanagement, unquote, in its response to the COVID-19 crisis, leaving employees and travelers, by extension, vulnerable during the most urgent days of the pandemic. The Office of Special Counsel late last week, an independent federal agency that handles whistleblower complaints, said it had found substantial likelihood of wrongdoing in the complaint. The whistleblower complaint ordered Department of Homeland Security to open an investigation into TSA. So all of the protocols for the plebs, the serfs, and none of the protocols for the government commissars. Isn't that just so appropriate for these times? For more on this topic and a few others, including the mob rewrite of history that's ongoing, pleased to be joined by James Bovard. He's a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, author of some 10 books, frequent contributor to The Hill, and contributing editor for American Conservative. James, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me back on the program.
So how about this revelation about TSA? So while we were forced to do COVID-19 theater, they were not even doing security theater.
Well, this is typical for TSA. I mean, the TSA is a very secretive agency, and it's the TSA agents basically have blanket immunity to sexually assault travelers. TSA is also a very, as part of its secrecy, TSA encourages people to file complaints if they feel they've been abused. But TSA is not willing to disclose those complaints under a Freedom of Information Act request. But I did a story back when during the Kavanaugh hearings, looking at women who had complained on Twitter about TSA. I did a simple search, TSA in various parts of female anatomy, and oh my God, I hit a mother load.
Yeah, well, and in this case, you have the call coming from inside the agency, TSA's Federal Security Director Jay Brainard, an official in charge of transportation security in the state of Kansas, been with the agency for 2 decades, saying, according to this NPR report, we did not take adequate steps to make sure that we were not becoming carriers and spreaders of the virus ourselves. I believe absolutely that contributed to the spread of coronavirus. That is a rather stark admission.
Absolutely. This is something that TSA, TSA has been spreading all kinds of bad things for decades because TSA's sanitation standards have been abysmal. They're often non-existent. People's interactions with TSA agents are basically presumed the TSA agent can go anywhere that they want with their hands, no matter where their hands have been before. So, I mean, that's a recipe for spreading COVID, flu, and a lot of other bad things.
And doesn't it also speak to why there is such distrust of government, these rules for me but not for thee? It's not just with elected officials. It's also with government agents in so many agencies.
Yeah, I mean, the federal government is basically exempt from the Constitution. If you want to sue them, then you need a lot of money and quite a few years, and you'll probably fail anyhow. So there are a small number of cases where people can make progress. If something's caught on videotape, then there can be an uproar. But by and large, the government gets away with almost all of its abuses, and most government cover-ups succeed. It's an absolute myth to say the truth will out when you're dealing with a government agency.
Well, and of course, that famous sort of mystery shopping exercise with TSA a couple years back, where they missed something on the order of 90% of illicit items that passed through their security checkpoints.
Yeah, and this is a pattern that goes back at least 15 years. The agency has never been that competent, and yet what they've tried to do is compensate by giving their agents more power and telling them to be much more aggressive with travelers. This works out very badly for women. It also works out badly for men sometimes. I've had some unpleasant dealings where I felt like I should have been wearing a iron-plated jock strap going through the checkpoint.
That's vivid. When we come back with...
It wasn't too vivid. It was, I was choosing my words. I can go this far, but no further.
No, I appreciate the PG respect for our audience. Thank you. When we come back with James Bovard, I want to talk a little bit about the mob's rewrite of history and the tearing down of statues as part of that. James Bovard, member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, will have more with him right after this.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show, and there has been a significant movement in the direction of erasing history so that the Jacobin mobs can rewrite it as they see fit, what they like, and excise what they don't like. Ulysses S. Grant statue torn down in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. Ulysses S. Grant, who Frederick Douglass, the freed slave Frederick Douglass, said, quote, "To him, more than to any other man, the Negro owes his enfranchisement," unquote. But that doesn't pass muster in 2020 America. Harper Lee and Mark Twain banned in the Duluth school districts. To Kill a Mockingbird and The Adventures of Huck Finn gone from the curriculum in 20 schools in the Duluth, Minnesota school district because their content, the content of those classics, may make students feel humiliated or marginalized. Teddy Roosevelt on horseback, flanked by a Native American man and an African man, which has presided over the entrance to the American Museum of Natural History in New York since 1940. That's coming down. St. Louis as a city may need to be renamed, which actually makes some sense if you take the position of the mob, as King Louis IX was instrumental in bringing the presumption of innocence to criminal proceedings in France. So, of course, that does not comport with the might makes right crowd of 2020 America. James Bovard rejoins us. He's the author of 10 books, member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, and a frequent contributor to The Hill and contributing for the American Conservative as well. And James, you have written about those who are bending a knee to the mob, including the Boy Scouts, or I guess as they're now called, the Scouts, which says a lot of what you need to know about the Scouts. But all of this going on, not just the Boy Scouts, but including them, this effort to expunge history and write it anew in 2020 America. What is your handle on how serious a matter this is?
Well, it's sad to see the politicians and the media encouraging mob violence. Someone had a great line about where is this going to end, and someone said, well, you know, you think of Harriet Tubman, who was famous for helping with her shotgun, helping slaves escape with the Underground Railroad in the 1850s. Someone said that those statues are going to be toppled because Harriet Tubman never said anything endorsing transgender rights.
I mean, well, you go to the What We Believe page from Black Lives Matter, and there is as much about trans rights and destruction of nuclear family as there is about black people in America and their interests or opportunities. You know, that may not be much of a parody at this juncture. What about with respect to the Boy Scouts and their new merit badge?
Well, I'm wondering if the Boy Scouts are going to mandate Scouts wearing ashes and sackcloth, because the Scouts are now mandating for Eagle that you've got to have a specific merit badge for diversity and inclusion. And as someone who was an Eagle Scout when I was a teenager, there were a number of things about the Boy Scouts which, looking back in hindsight, kind of made me cringe a little bit. There was a lot more stress on obedience than I'd like. There were a lot more government officials put on pedestals. But there were also great things. It was get out in the woods, you know, go and get a bloody nose, and just to be able to overcome your physical comfort zone and to be out there exploring nature. I mean, that was a legacy that I got from the Boy Scouts, which continues to influence my life right now. I mean, I'm a hike leader for meetup groups, and that's something which I first did when I was in the Boy Scouts. But to see the vilification of the Boy Scouts and to see them kowtowing, it's not going to end well. And the whole idea of having a merit badge where you've got to prove that you support diversity and inclusion, I'm all in favor of tolerance. I mean, tolerance is a wonderful virtue, and that's something which I think the vast majority of Americans, at least until recently, would have endorsed or supported. But now there's a catechism that you've got to swear to, and the catechism changes every 2 weeks, and it's hard to keep up with the latest, you know, enforced dictates.
Vilification and supplication, those turn out to be two sides of the same coin, don't they? As soon as you bend the knee, that is when they really pounce. If you are not able to or willing to stand and defend yourself, then that's when you're targeted. It seems to me those instances where individuals have refused to apologize have the necessary backing to stand on their own 2 feet, that's where the mob goes away, just as any bully does.
I agree. And take a step back to the Boy Scouts. I mean, for a lot of years, the Boy Scouts covered up pedophiles who were abusing Scouts. That was a horrendous abuse, and it's something that the Scouts deserve to be condemned for. But what you've had instead is a lot of states have passed these laws which have abolished a statute of limitation for bringing lawsuits on that. So you have a lot of lawsuits that have basically no evidence, but they have an accusation, and because of that, the Scouts are driven into bankruptcy. So I'm in favor of paying compensation, the Scouts having to do that for people that were clearly victims. But if you abolish the statute of limitation, then you've basically, in a lot of, if not most cases, you've simply abolished any standard of evidence. So
there was a piece that we discussed with a guest on Friday, Libby Evans, writing for the Post Millennial, talking about how the New York City school systems are teaching her 10-year-old son that he's a racist. And she made this a larger point about this this expungement of history going on and rewriting it anew that we've been discussing. She said, you know, in the schools, they're teaching kids how to interpret history before they even teach them the underlying history that they're supposed to interpret, which is, to me, a working definition of indoctrination. And that's something that is particularly pernicious and doesn't seem to be the organized opposition that should demand.
I agree. There was a piece in the Washington Post a couple of days ago about student activists for the Baltimore City schools that were calling for this Baltimore to adopt a anti-racist curriculum where they basically get rid of, I guess, most if not all of the white writers. But it's not Mark Twain's fault that Baltimore students have some of the worst reading scores in the nation. I think that the only city that has worse school rating scores is Detroit. And the state of Maryland has poured so much money into Baltimore schools. But I mean, it's the money's basically vanished, and kids don't learn how to read. But now they're saying that their problem is because of, you know, Mark Twain or Shakespeare or whatever. And I'm thinking, there's a lot of people have learned how to read for the last 150 years based on Mark Twain or Shakespeare or Frederick Douglass did some wonderful writing. So it's kind of like a circus shell game, where the activists are always making one more demand, and you try to meet that, then they move the cup, and you're not going to satisfy them.
Well, because they're professional extortionists. And oh, by the way, to your point of the internal logic of the argument, they're being unduly marginalized by things they're not reading. That seems to me a tough argument to make out, exactly. He is James Bovard, author of 10 books, member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, and frequent contributor to The Hill, and contributing editor for American Conservative. James Bovard, thanks as always for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.